Wednesday afternoon, ladies, Chayvus al Vavas Shir and Shar Yichud HaMaiser, it's Rosh Chodesh Shvat. We're starting the Shir now. Wish everyone here a good Yom Tov, good Chodesh. What a lovely way to spend the Yom Tov. Okay, you could start planning the party with the guitar. Okay, we're learning Chavos Halvavos. We're learning Shar Yichud HaMaisa. And we're learning Perek Beis. Perek Beis is a rather short perek, but it packs so much. Because Perek Beis is... It's very difficult. I mean, it's hard to... In Shara Bitachon, he lists things, certain premises you have to have, and certain considerations, certain things you have to be convinced of, and certain attitudes you have to have, and he lists them, and then he elaborates on them, and he says, and he talks a lot about them, and he explains them, and he says how, and why, and a whole big picture. Here he basically lists 10 things that you need in order to perform Shar Yichud HaMaisa, in order to be able to reach the goal. The ultimate goal is to do things because they're the will of Hashem and for no other reason. And he just lists them, and I'm going over what we learned last week, and you have to elaborate a little, because he barely says anything. He just throws out you a couple of words and 10 things that you need in order to be able to have Yichud HaMaisa, in order to have wholehearted devotion and avodah to Hashem, meaning that the will of Hashem is what guides you. So now, the first one is really a no-brainer, because the first one is you have to believe in Hashem. So we can giggle and we could laugh, but it's not so simple, because it has to be real. It has to be real. You're obviously not going to conduct your life in a way that's devoted to something that you don't really conceive of as real, and he's out there, and he's watching you, and he cares, and he's the one that told me to keep Shabbos, and he's the one that said to behave, and he's looking at me, and he knows my machshavos. So there's a lot in number one that's really it's a step on the ladder. It's the first of 10 things. And it's not just because, well, if you don't believe in Hashem, then why am I learning this sefer at all? What am I doing here? Let me go out and party. But if Hashem is not real to you, then you won't be kone yichud hamaisa. And it's rather obvious. Why not? You won't devote your life to something that's not real to you. You don't want to waste your time. You don't want to... We're not play-acting here. This is Chovas HaLevavos. This is real. So if you don't have a healthy... some type of sense of the reality of Hashem, which is not easy. He's invisible. And he doesn't talk to us. And when we talk to him, this is also a problem. We wonder if he's listening to us. And so that's number one. You have to have a good sense of the reality of Hashem. And that's the first Shar. That's Shar HaYichud. Okay. Number two and three go together. Number two and three feed upon each other. Because number two and three say why I should do Hashem's will. Why? Why am I doing Hashem's will? So to get the answer to that, You have to put together number 2 and 3, because number 2 is Shar HaBechina, which we're learning Sunday nights at Schaefer's house, 9:15 p.m. every Sunday night. And Shar HaVodas Elokim, which we learned, I made a siyum on even. So you put, and that's what he says. Now number 2 is to realize Hashem's chesed, constant chesed, consistent chesed, how he showers us with good things all the time, and we're not aware of it. And you have to learn Shar HaBechina to start to be aware of it, that every move we make, it's just a shefa of chesed. You know, we focus if we missed the bus, or if the dollar went down or up or whatever it's supposed to do, and you know, or if we didn't get a job that we wanted, that's what we focus on. But you learn Shar HaBechina, and the score is like 20 billion to 1, and even that one is not really one, because it's really chesed. We just don't understand how or why yet, maybe. And then number 3 is the way he segues from Shar HaBechina into Shar Avodas Elokim, which is, and he says this, but he only says it in a couple of words here, that you have to believe in the reality of Hashem. How can I devote myself to doing Hashem's will until I have that? Then I have to know a context in which I'm doing Hashem's will. So you have to, so he sets it up as he sets up the Sefer. And this is what Chavis, although this, I don't know, is most famous for, or I don't know, maybe people don't really know what he said, the foundation of the Sefer, like the biggest input into your life of the Sefer, is that we do the will of Hashem out of a sense of gratitude. And we have to feel, not just say, but you have to feel gratitude for every nishmas. Is a beautiful tefillah to say slowly and to think what the words mean, and then to feel gratitude, and then to do avodas Hashem because of gratitude. That's a very big chiddush. I think it's the chiddush of the Chavis Halvavos, even though it's really in the Ramban and Chumash also. But again, that's a funny statement, because the Chavis Halvavos preceded the Ramban by a few hundred years. But we're more familiar with Ramban than we are with Chavis Halvavos. And this is what's beautiful about it. And please listen carefully. What is he saying this for? Why is it important? And obviously number 3 is important, because you say, well, I have to have a sense of reality of Hashem before I devote myself to doing Hashem's will. That's number 1. And number 3 is I have to have a healthy sense that I'm supposed to do Hashem's will before I decide to do His will, because it's His will. But he threw in number 2, which is I have to have a healthy sense of why I'm doing Hashem's will. So that's why number 2 and 3 go together, and that's what he built up in Shar HaBechina and Shar Yichud and Shar Avodas Elokim, that I'm doing Hashem's will out of my feeling of gratitude to Hashem. And the reason that's so crucial, the reason I think, Bezus Hashem, I think it's very, very crucial to look at it that way. If I'm going to do, again, we're looking at, if I'm going to do Hashem's will only because it's Hashem's will, and for no other reason, then you have to, so why am I doing Hashem's will? Now, normally, you say, why am I doing Hashem's will? Because I have to, I'm compelled to, He's the Melech. And if I don't do Hashem's will, you know, I don't want to get Him angry at me. You really go through life. And again, I'm talking, halavai, we should go through life doing everything that's right for the wrong reasons. Halavai. But maybe this is a good way to do it right. To know what you're focused on. To know what the goal is. Chavis Halvavos, in Shar Yichud HaMaisa, he doesn't want you to go through life cutting deals. There are people that do that. We all know such people. It's never you, it's always the guy next to you. Cutting deals. there's something in it for me. And we go through life, and we, and you know, yesterday you would have said, well, what's wrong with that? That's life. I do things because I want to have friends, and I want to be happy, and I want to have nachas, and I want to have a good life and a comfortable, like, what's wrong with that? Well, nothing wrong with it, but it's not really the way we're supposed to be living life. You don't live life like a businessman, who's always asking, well, what's in it for me? What am I gaining out of this? So you say, okay, I'm doing Hashem's will, but like, why? Why am I doing Hashem's will? So most of the time, the answer would either be, because I want to get Olam Haba, because I want to avoid Gehenna, because I have to, he's stronger than me and bigger than me, and he's going to not give me the lollipop if I don't do his will, right? Like children, and again, how have I, we should be like children. But maybe we can improve if we hit upon the real reason and strive for the real reason. So say, either we're cutting a deal and we're really doing things for ourselves, not for Hashem, we're doing things for ourselves. Once you're doing something for yourself, and this is a radical statement, and you know, it's only a skip and a hop till you do an Aveira. I know, it's a long skip and hop. But once you're in the mode of doing something for yourself, then you're already on the wrong maslul. You're on the wrong track. So, you know, you don't want to do an Aveira because we've been trained not to do Aveiras, and maybe we're scared of the Onesh, but Chavis Halvavis says you're on the wrong track. You're not doing it for yourself. Okay, so who are you doing it for? I'm doing it for Hashem. Why should I do anything for Hashem? No, I have to finish the thought, please. Why should I do it for Hashem? If I'm not doing it for me, and I don't mean a bad for me, because I want to be good, because I want to go to Gan Eden, I want to bond with Hashem, I want to be Ruchni. No, that's all, but it, me. I. So then, okay, so what else is there? I'm doing it for Hashem. No human being will do something for Hashem or for anybody in a vacuum. Why should I do it for him? But why? Why? Because I have to. Because I'm Jewish. I submit to you that there's no reason in the world, there's no way the human mind, the way Hashem made us, that I could just in a vacuum do someone's will. I'll do it because I want to be good. I want to do what's right. But that's I. But I won't do it in a vacuum. That's the beauty of the Chavis Halvavis' world. That I do it to show gratitude. I'm doing Hashem's will because I want to show that I'm grateful to him. Not because I'm doing his will. Purely his will. Nothing in it for me. At its ultimate. I'm doing it Yichud HaMaisa, with wholehearted devotion because I want to do Hashem's will. But the Chavis Halvavis, I'm not going to do it in a vacuum. The human being won't do it. He'll break down after a week. That's the whole Chavis Halvavis. You have to learn Shar HaBechina first. You have to develop. You are so grateful to Hashem. This is the person. Imagine how you feel if someone saved your child's life, ran into the street, risked their own life, and whisked your child away from the car that was about to kill your child, Chas v'Shalom. Think how you feel about that person. Times that by a billion, and that's how you're supposed to feel towards Hashem. Read the Rambam. Hashem, thank you for every breath we take, right? For every breath we take, for every move we make, for every thought we have. And we should be so overflowing with gratitude. I thought we should be dancing in the streets. You can go join the women in a mob dance. What's it called? Flash dance, whatever they call it. You should go be dancing in the street. Be dancing in the street. Oh, Hashem says, just write me a thank you card. Okay, how? Do this and this and this and this. I want you to will. The guy just saved your child's life. He says, can you get me a cup of water? I'm like very thirsty. Right? You'll run and you say, what can I, tell me what to do. And we end up begging. Someone bought us a house. Hashem did more than buy us a house. Someone paid their way through college and bought us a house and paid up the mortgage and gives us a year's supply of food. And you say, you know, I feel so silly just saying thank you. And you end up begging the person, what can I do to show my gratitude? We've all been in this experience where you end up pleased and then you end up being grateful. They said, you know what? You can get me a glass of water. I'm thirsty, right? Said, thank you for telling me how to show my gratitude. That's what you end up feeling because we're so frustrated. That's how Hashem made us. Hashem made us this way because he wants the Avodas Elohim to be real. He wants you to do it for Hashem's sake. But Hashem doesn't need anything. So how can I do it for Hashem's sake? In a vacuum? Nobody will do it. You won't do it. You'll burst after 2 weeks. Because we're rational beings. And I'm not going to just do something in a vacuum. Oh, if you tell me Hashem needs it, yeah, I'll do it. Hashem doesn't need anything. So he's just telling me to do things. That's absurd. It's absurd. So I'll do it because I want to have a good life and go to Gan Eden and bond with him. And no, but that's not the ideal. Brilliant. Chayus HaLov is not brilliant. It's beautiful. It's so gratitude. So now, my only reason is to show gratitude to Hashem. That's why, that's number 2 and 3. You need to have Yichud Maisa. You have to be a healthy sense of the reality of Hashem. Then you have to be aware, 2 and 3 go together. You have to be aware of all he does for you, which is no mean trick. It takes years of study. You have to be a little scientist. We just learned the Chavis HaLovas this past Sunday night. There's things that are obvious to everyone, if they stop and think about it, which most people don't. But at least you could realize it if you stop and think. He says the sun, right? The sun. Most people never think about the sun. Only when it rains. But if you think about it, and then he says there's things that you have to dig a little deeper to understand what it is. What does he say? He says it's the seasons, right? He says the seasons. Why do seasons change? And why there's leaves on a tree? And you have to dig. And then there's things that a layman will not know. You got to be a scientist. You have to study it. It's a discipline. You have to study science and history and biology and all the disciplines to know. So there's 3 levels. But then it was so filled with gratitude, then we just segue into Avodas Elohim, because this is our way of saying thank you. That's the whole Shara Avodas Elohim. I mean, it's all in the Hagdomah to Shara Avodas Elohim. This is your way of saying thank you. So yeah, I'm doing it only to say thank you to Hashem. No other reason. I'm doing it because it's Hashem's will, and this is my way of saying thank you. And if I Ilu finu moleshira kayom ulushonenu rinon kamon galov v'sifsosenu sheva kamechavei rokia v'einenu meiros kashemesh v'chayoreach v'yodenu ferusos kenishrei shemoyim v'raglenu kalos kayalos ein anachnu maspikim. It's not enough lohodus l'cha Hashem elokeinu v'lokeinu v'seinu al achas mei elef alfei alofin v'ribei revavos po'amim hatovos shosisim avosem v'imanu. It's true, you start thinking about the billions of cells in your body, and anything overflowing with gratitude, you do Avodas Elohim. Now you could do Yichud HaMa'aseh. That was number 2 and 3. Now I could do it only for the sake of doing Hashem's will, because now doing Hashem's will is rational and real. Why is it rational? Hashem doesn't need anything. Because I should go to Gan Eden and bond with, oh, that's you. That's not Hashem. Stumped. That's what the Chavis HaLovas says. You have to develop Shar HaBechina. He doesn't say those words. That's number 2 and 3. Now you're ready to do Yichud HaMa'aseh. That's what's so beautiful. You're not doing Hashem's will in a vacuum. So they go together. Number 2 and 3. Number 4 and 5. Thank you. I was omitted on this in preparing for the class. I have to thank you, really. I have to thank Hashem. There's no end. If you've ever been in a position where you feel thankful for someone for telling you how to thank them, and we all have been. Okay. What can I do for you? Tell me. Then it doesn't end. Then you're thankful that they told you how to be thankful. That's how Hashem wired a person. That's the Hagdomah to Shara Avodas Elohim and the Chavis HaLovas, with his Mishalim and his stories and his this.
obviously Hashem made the person. Hashem wired the person. Hashem, so this is the perfect way to serve Hashem. This is the Chavis Halva, this is his world. Hashem wired us in this way so that we can serve him perfectly. Perfectly means we're doing it to say thank you to him. Why is that perfectly? Because then I'm doing it for his sake, not for mine. We also discussed in Shara Avodas Elokim that then I don't feel there's no outside force telling me to serve Hashem. It's coming from me. It's an expression of who I am and what I want to do, but in a selfless way, because I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you. So it's coming. Nobody's compelling me. No one's holding a gun to my head, and no one's offering me a lollipop. That's there also, but that's just because we're children. And just like, as the Chovis Halvavus says, and Shavuot Halakim, just like, you know, you offer a child something till he grows up and understands why he should, let's say, go to sleep on time, and why he should eat food, the good food, and why this and why that. So till then, you have to offer him a reward. But that, we're all children, says the Chovis Halvavus, and some of us are children our whole lives, you know? And we are, basically. But that's the beauty of Hashem doesn't want us to fall off the deep end. If you keep Shabbos because you like cholent, it's also good. You go to Gan Eden, and then you'll be all right. You'll be all right. It's sad, where we, I told you once, Laman lo nigal urik v'lo neled la behala. But, okay. That's number 2 and 3. Number 4 and 5 is, what's after Shara Avodas Elokim? Shara Bitachon. So 4 and 5 go together. We learned this in previous weeks. That's why I'm at 4 and 5. Not this last thing I said. That I was homing on this morning. 4 and 5 go together because 4 is having bitachon in Hashem and only in Hashem, and 5 is like a deeper bitachon where you really know that no one else can do anything to you without Hashem's being the real enabler, and everything is just a channel from Hashem's gezeira. So 4 is like level 1 of bitachon, that I rely on Hashem and I realize that everything is from him, and 5 is the deeper bitachon where I exclude everyone else from that. There's no two powers that can do anything to me. Chazavod is being very practical. He's being very practical. You're not going to have Yichud HaMaisa if you think that you're getting the job, or getting through life, or having friends, or getting accepted, or being accepted, or being successful, etc., etc., is dependent on something other than Hashem. You're not going to do it. you're gonna do something so that the boss should like you. You're going to do something so that this one shouldn't get angry at you. If you think in your life that other people or other situations or whatever it is are determining what happens to you, then there's no way you're going to have Yichud HaMaisa to Hashem, because you're going to be, part of your brain is going to say, that's all very nice and all very wonderful, but I have to make sure I get a raise, I have to make sure I get hired, I have to make sure my kids get into the school, so maybe I have to do this or maybe I have to do that, and you know, and that. So even if you do good things, I'm in a supermarket, principal of the Beis Yaakov's here, I better buy only Mahadran products. Where do I hide my baseball cap? Where do I hide my sneakers? That's it, that's number 4 and 5, like bitachon, that's a mamash out of left field. Who's talking about bitachon? It doesn't have to do with Yichud HaMaisa. And not only bitachon number 4, but like real bitachon number 5. Deep, heavy. Because it's not going to happen. You won't be able to do things solely, S-O-L-E-L-Y, solely because it's Hashem's will, if you are dependent on other things. Whether it's anything. Your friend, anything in your life. Go through your life, go through your day. You need that person. You need someone to think kindly of you so that he should lend you the money. You need this, you need that. We need things. And if we think that the ultimate decider of of if I get them or not. It's not Hashem. You can forget about Yichud HaMa'aseh. Go on to the next share. Yes.
Isn't it a fine line with the shtadlis? Because if you are run a store and you have customers, don't you have to treat them nicely because you're going to hope they're going to come back and buy more? I mean...
Yes, and that's why he spends so much. That's Shar HaBitachon, and we learned about Hishtadlus. He doesn't even use the word Hishtadlus. I told you why. He doesn't use the word Hishtadlus. It's our word. He uses the word L'hisasek Besibos, to busy ourselves with the channels which Hashem uses, and that's an achrayus that Hashem commands us to do, and he says why, and that's, we can't, you know, that's in Shar HaBitachon, and yes. But now we're talking about Chovas Halavados. We're talking about motivation. And what's my goal in life? My goal in life is what? What's my motivation? What's my motivation? What's my ultimate motivation? We talked about this last week. I started off this year saying I don't want anybody to get scared. We're talking about the ultimate goal. You don't have to, the ultimate goal is it's Hashem's will. Why are you nice to customers? Again, you just follow the line because I want them to come back. Okay, that's cool. Maybe you should be nice to them because of v'habtal re'echa kamocha, which we should tell a lot of storekeepers about that. So I want them to come back. Okay, that's already not yichud HaMa'aseh, by the way. If it's I want them to come back rather than because they're also people and I have to treat them like mention, then I'm taka violating v'habtal re'echa kamocha and I'm not doing yichud HaMa'aseh because Hashem wants me to treat them nicely because they're human beings. And I'm lacking in bitachon, indeed, if my motivation for treating them nicely is that they should come back, and otherwise they won't come back. So if the flip side of treating them nicely is treating them not nicely, then chenami would be included in normal hishtadlus. But ultimately, okay, why? I want to earn money. Why do you want to earn money? I got to take it down the line. Why do I earn money? Because I want to have a comfortable life. Most people stop there. I don't know most, you know. Not most people in this room, Baruch Hashem, but even from Jews will stop there. I want to have money because I need things. I have to pay tuition, and I have to put food on the table, and I have to, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. No, you have to take it further. The Chavis HaLadlus wants that why to end up because it's the will of Hashem. Like I said, even if we would cut Hashem out of the picture for a moment, you say, I go to work to earn money. When I earn money, I want to buy food. Why do I buy food? Because I have to have something to eat. Why do I have something to eat? Because I want to live. Yeah, I want to live. Yeah, that's ultimately my cheshbon. So a Jew, Yichud HaMa'aseh, is to just keep the thread going. It makes a difference in your life, let me tell you. Even if it's ultimately to do Hashem's will. But if that's always part of your, I don't know if the word is consciousness, because if it's as part of your consciousness as much as the sheish mitzvahs tmidiyas are, however that's supposed to be part of your consciousness, you don't have to actively think about it, but it's part of your life, it's part of your life, it's part of your makeup, it's who you are, and how you live is, I'm doing the will of Hashem, 10 times a day, there'll be a red light going on top of your head. Uh-oh. Hashem is not very pleased with me now, I would imagine, if I do this. Yeah, but it'll smooth the way. Yeah, but Hashem's will. And if it stops us once a month, then it's a success story. And I'm happy we're learning Shar Yichud HaMa'aseh. If once a month we remember, what's my ultimate goal? The word ultimate, there's nothing wrong with using the word ultimate goal when you're learning Chavis HaVovah Shar Yichud HaMa'aseh. It's the ultimate goal. Everything I do is ultimately to do the Ratzon Hashem. We have nisyonos, though, and push comes to shove, and you say, well, is this Hashem's will? Does Hashem want me to get my kid into a school if it entails... Nah, I sort of instinctively know that he doesn't. What's it all about? It's all about doing Hashem's will. Anyway, it's amazing that he talks about bitachon here. And that's the pshat. That if you don't have bitachon, you're not going to be able to do Yichud HaMa'aseh. Forget it. You're not going to be able to. Because you have all these other influences of your life, you think, that you have to keep feeding. Yeah.
Isn't there some similarity, or isn't gratitude like making a deal in reverse?
Making a deal is for something in the future. You mentioned making a deal with Hashem. Well, gratitude is something that you've gotten in the past.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. So it's basically saying, there is part of it that is saying, I'm thanking you for something you've done for me. Now, I understand the spontaneous part about you really want to do it because I've been in that situation. Thank you for telling me how to thank you. That I understand, but it's not without the act first. It's not without getting the chesed first.
That's fine. When we're born, we're already 9 months.
That brings me to the other
We owe Hashem 9 months worth of thank yous.
Yeah, but in the South, or in Yiddish, there is an expression, I don't want your sting and I don't want your honey. What is about the whole thing about, you know, was it... What was the big favor about being created?
I don't believe anybody doesn't want to exist.
Now that the diabetic, yes.
No.
Well,
no.
We wouldn't know, how would we know whether...
Line up, everyone. I got my Kool-Aid here.
Now,
who wants to drink the Kool-Aid?
You're alive, but the point of the matter is, I'm sure there's sometimes a person says, you know what, I don't want your tests, and obviously you want to keep living.
Yeah.
But who asked the Ramban? They had this whole discussion about whether it was good to create man.
It's in the Gemara, and the Mefarshim explain, look, Hashem ultimately only did what's best. That Gemara that you're referring to, a Gemara with Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, is a philosophical question. That's not nogeya us. You'll have to accept that from me now. It's too heavy to go into. Right now, we're alive. We're here. No one, there are people that want to commit suicide, right? There's sick people. They're not well. They're not thinking. Go read the stories about the guy that wrote a book by blinking his eye, right? Okay. Anyway, so that's number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. These are 5 things you need. And really, he didn't really get to the point of Yichud HaMaisa yet. This is like prerequisites. Reality of Hashem. 2 and 3 is why in the world should I do Ratzon Hashem? And 4 and 5 is Bitachon, which is really from left field. So I explained that. Number 6 is where we're up to. Number 6 is Sheyeshava Etzlo Im Yishabchuhu Bnei Odom O Yiganuhu. What? It's all the same to you if people praise you or curse you. Now, obviously, we are supposed to do actions which are pleasing to God and pleasing to man. U'mitzolchein v'seichel tov b'nei lim v'yodom. And we do things, kol sheruach habrios nocheimenu, ruach hamokom nocheimenu. The Chavis HaBavos does not mean that I'm just going to be a bull in a china shop and I'm going to barrel my way through life and step on everybody that gets in my way and I don't care what they think of me and it's just me and Hashem. Because obviously there's ben odom l'chavero, and obviously... And there's nothing wrong if people think nicely of you. That's not a bad thing. Again, the key word is ultimately. Ultimately, it's not what people say about you. And this is heavy, and it's very, very important. Maybe it doesn't come up every day, and maybe it does come up every day, and we'll be more sensitive to it now. It's not about, life is not about the hesped that they're going to give by the Levaya. It's not about the obituary. That's not what it's about. It's about what Hashem thinks of you. And that's what a person has to keep in mind. And if he doesn't keep in mind, if he's swayed and motivated by, that's the key word here, he doesn't mean it's the same. Obviously, you're sad. You're not happy if people curse you, if people talk badly of you. And you're happy if people talk nicely of you. Maybe it's good, maybe it's bad, but that's not what he's talking about. Shova Etzlo means as the motivator of your actions. You're not doing it so that people will hold of you. And that is totally crucial and essential to Yichud HaMaisa. That's almost the definition of Yichud, almost, because it involves a lot of other things too. Your motivator and your goal. What's my goal in life? Yeah, there are people whose goals in life is that people should hold of them. I'm sure we think we know such people. Their actions reflect it. As he says, it's the same to you as a goal in life, as a motivator of your actions. The motivating of your motivator actions should not be what people say about you or talk about you. You're focused on what Hashem likes. Oh,
Yeah, there's a whole lot of mitzvahs that are benodim lachavero that have nothing to do with what people think of you. If the says in Pirkei Avos kol sheruach habrios nochemenu ruach hamakom nochemenu, fine, you know, it's a simon that Hashem is pleased with you. Hashem has given us a Torah, and the Torah most of the time creates a person that's very pleasant to people. Why do I say most of the time? Yeah, because there's sometimes you have to go against the crowd. There's sometimes you have to do things where people will say, what are you doing? And they'll even be from, and they'll say, you're making a chil Hashem. Everything's a chil Hashem. You're making a chil Hashem. And you are convinced, and you know, maybe Esther Rav, maybe whatever, you know you're doing what's pleasing in the eyes of Hashem. That's all you should care about. Doesn't matter what people are calling you or saying. People will talk, people will prattle, people have all kinds of their own issues, they have agendas. You want to say it's a reason to double check what you're doing, maybe you're making a mistake. If everybody's saying it's a chil Hashem, maybe you should rethink your actions. Okay, you know, nothing wrong with that. But you haven't lost sight of the goal. The goal is to do what's pleasant in Hashem's eyes. Not that people when Gush Katif was going on, right? So Moshe Feiglin said that part of the problem is that the Dati Leumi world, I'm quoting Moshe Feiglin now, who wears a kippah sruga, if you don't know, he said part of the problem is they care what the papers write about them, they care what the radio says about them. What we need is a couple of Haredim to be living in Gush Katif. They don't care what the radio says about them. They don't care because they, now, Halavai, he would have said because they only care what Hashem thinks. He said because they know that everybody's against them and everybody's going to talk badly about the Haredim. So they're not motivated by what's going to be said about them. That's the point. Of course, what you should be motivated by is what Hashem is going to say about you. But the Nakuda is that maybe we don't realize how much we do measure our actions or decide on actions based on what people will say about us, based on what people will think about us. So that's number six. You have to lose that. You have to lose that, or else you're not going to be able. If that's part of your life's goal, if that's part of your value system. Everybody says, yeah, you have to be Bnei Abrios and you have to make a Kiddush Hashem. It's all true, but that's not the value of your life. The value of your life is only what Hashem thinks of you. Now, Hashem doesn't want you to make a chil Hashem, obviously. He's the one that said you're not going to make a chil Hashem. So he certainly doesn't want you to make a chil Hashem. But it happens plenty that you bump up with the will of Hashem versus what people will think of you. And you have to, and that, this is not easy. This is so hard. We're all social beings. We're all social beings, and we all care what people think about us. That's why I like Ayn Rand. Why? Because even though she was an atheist, but the heroes in her books developed that iron armor where they were so sure of what they were doing, so Hashem wasn't their value. But the point is, they didn't care what people thought about them. They had their principles, and whatever it was, that's not the point now. They had their principles, and they really, those are the heroes in her books. The heroes in her books are the people that didn't care what other people thought about them. Yeah. That's why we have a Torah and a Shulchan Aruch, and that's why there's good Rabbanim. You don't have to look at me, it's okay. That's why there's we have a Torah, we have a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, we have Mesorah, we have Rabbanim, and we know. And if we, and you know something? If we would get rid of the garbage about caring what other people think about us, we'd be left with what Hashem thinks of us. And I think you would maybe instinctively know. That's what I'm... unfortunately not. Unfortunately, we don't have Nevuah, we don't have Ruach HaKodesh, and we don't have Nisim. So, but we have a Shulchan Aruch, we have a Torah, we have our Rabbonim, we have Das Torah, and we follow. You pick someone to follow if you don't know. So you pick someone to follow. That's our link to Torah. It's Torah. The answer to your question is one word, Torah. Now, what does Torah mean? Sometimes it's Shulchan Aruch. Sometimes it's the fifth Shulchan Aruch, what's called the fifth Shulchan Aruch. Sometimes it's Derech Eretz. Sometimes it's common sense, really, once you clear away all the garbage. And this is why it's crucial and essential to have a Rav, and to have a mentor, at the very least. That could be a Rebbetzin. A mentor that is someone that you trust to guide you the right way. I'd rather not be a Rav. Leave me alone. I'm left alone. I just want to be left alone. That's what I want. When people ask me what I want out of life, I say, I just want to be left alone. Okay. Number seven is, again, he just says four words, but you can give a whole sociology class about number seven. Number seven is, stop with your yipui lebnei Adam. Stop. Yazov. Stop manipulating people. Some people can say good morning to their neighbor and they're being manipulative. Because someday they're going to need a loan. Someday they're going to need him to sign that he agrees that I can make shiputzim on my mirpeset. Someday, who knows what, I better be nice to my neighbor. That's manipulative. There's a midah in the world. Yipui lebnei Adam is manipulation. And some people can, you can be a very nice person, right? With your customers. You're being manipulative if your purpose in being nice to them is that they should come back to the store. That's maybe manipulation. That's not a good thing. It's not a good way to live. You should do what's right in the eyes of Hashem. You should do what's right in the eyes of Hashem. You say good morning to your neighbor because it says in Pirkei Avos, have they makdim b'shalom kol adam? So you give him a smile and say good morning. But if you're thinking that someday he's a businessman and someday maybe he'll buy from me merchandise, I better be nice to him. Right? We have friends. And then that's what the Chazal says. Stop being manipulative. Even in the good things you do. Stop. That's what Yipui B'nai Adam means. Living your life with a cheshben like a businessman. What's in it for me? What can I gain out of even being good, right? We're working on a madrega of yichud hamaisa. We're talking about being good. Stop yipui b'nei adam. It's a very, very powerful. You know, he says it in four words. It's a whole thing to think about. And then we can think as we go through our day. You know, stop. Like life is. You're not playing a game of I give you this, you give me this. If I'm nice to him, if I'm not nice to him, he'll do this, I'll do this. Ultimately, one day, I'll need something. Stop that. Train yourself. How do you stop that? This is a prerequisite. This is what Yichud HaMa'aseh is. You have to develop a reality of Hashem. You have to appreciate Hashem, be grateful, and therefore want to do His will. You have to have bitachon and a healthy sense of no one else is going to determine anything that happens in your life other than Hashem. You don't care what people say about you. And number seven is you train yourself, you work on it. How do you work on it? That's a very good question. It goes back to the old Michtam Elio and being a giver or being a taker. If you train yourself to give, not to take, then that's the opposite, I think, of manipulation. With manipulation, right, that they even manipulate the mitzvah stokah. So sad. It's very sad. It's tragic. I know it's tragic. They manipulated the mitzvah stokah so that there's something that you're going fishing, and maybe you'll put up a 20-pound tuna. Maybe you'll win the jackpot. You'll get the condominium in Yerushalayim. Right? And you have to lose that. And you do it because it's Hashem's will. If you want to develop Yichud HaMa'aseh, which we should want to develop, because even if we're Koneh, 1% of what the purity of the Midah calls for will be okay. If once a month we, you know,
Hashem's not really too pleased with me with that. I'm going to cut that out, even though it looks like I'm going to gain a lot. So that's number seven. Number seven, I think the way is to learn to be a giver, not a taker. So then you don't do things for people because of what's in it for you. You do things for people because you do things for people. And that's Hashem's will. Hashem likes when you do things for people. If you want it done for yourself, you do it. Yeah.
So all the advertisements and campaigning and mishpachas and dinas, learn to alachas of Lashon Hara Day for all the segulas.
It's sad. They'll say that nowadays that's the only way to get people to do anything. It's sad. What you should do, it's like I said. The Gemara says to do things shalol lishma, shemitoch shalol lishma, bal lishma. The way you could save yourself when all those advertisements are sad, we should cry when we see them. But look how far we've fallen. It's going to motivate us to do it sadly. At least hang on to the thread that mitoch shalol lishma, bal lishma is my ultimate goal. When you're doing it so that you get parnosa, you get children, nachas from children, a shidduch, hang on to the rope that, and then one day I will do it without that. And that's my goal. Because the Gemara says, mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma. So I'll get there someday, and that's my ultimate goal. And as much as it says, la'olam yasuk odem b'torah v'mitzvah shelo lishma, and the Balei Musa say, la'olam means, you have to do it that way. No one's walking out of there after the bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah and doing shayar yichud hamaisa. But bitok shelo lishma bo lishma, they also say, and this is the answer and the trick. The trick is that should be your motivation. So that goof is my goal. My goal in doing it in order to get the condominium is because right now that's where I'm holding, but I hope and I pray that if I give enough tzedakah, and I do it enough times, and it's dangerous, because that's the problem, that's why I hate it. It's disgusting, because how will you ever break free of that? If everywhere you turn, every plea for tzedakah promises you who knows what. So how are you going to break free? I don't know, but at least hang on to the lifeline that your ultimate goal is to do it lishma. And one day you'll get there. Okay.